The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Things are not going well for CBS. I think that would be an understatement. The Masters had the worst ratings in history. Obviously, they were up against football all weekend long. And are you ready for this? They lost the primetime game last week between LSU and Alabama. May get that back in a few weeks. This week, they had Ole Miss and Texas A&M in the 3:30 Eastern time window. That game is gone. So CBS has just announced that instead of an SEC game, they will have the A-team of Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson broadcast the San Diego State-Nevada game Saturday afternoon, 3:30 on CBS. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. I mentioned Glenn Gilbo would be joining us in a moment. You can call us now at 855-242-7285. And right now, let's check in with who we got here. How about Christian in Florida? How are you, Christian?
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey. Hey, Paul. You think they're going to schedule an Alabama-LSU game?
Yes, I do. I think that game will be played in not this week or the next because that's the Iron Bowl. But I would say the week after the Iron Bowl would be my best guess.
So they're going to reschedule December 5th?
Yeah. I can't tell you that's absolute, but that's what I've heard.
Okay.
Yeah, that game has to be played. It's just too important. Now, let's get to the calls. And next up is Butch in Panama City. Hey, Butch.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today, buddy?
We're doing well. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good. Good. Listen, I'm an Auburn guy, but I've never been a Gus Malzahn guy. I think he's kind of like a one-trick pony who's gotten lucky a few times. I'm asking you what you think after this year, after we drop a few more games, because we're going to, in my opinion. What are the odds of them getting rid of Gus and bringing in Hugh Freeze, or trying to anyway?
You know, there's always been a group, as you know. I try to shoot as straight as they let me here. There's always been a group at Auburn who have wanted to get rid of Gus Malzahn. You know that. And,
right.
You know, it's always the same. The response has always been the same. What, too expensive, $30 million, $25 million, $19 million. But I wonder, you know, if watching what South Carolina did this week, about a $14 or $15 million.
I'm going to say they paid $15 million to get rid of Will Muschamp.
Yeah,
but they're laying off professors. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Bottom line is this: football matters, and buyouts do not get in the way of what hungry boosters want to do.
Right. But you still didn't answer my question. What do you think?
I would still say he won't be let go. That's my gut feeling.
You think we'll hang on to him, huh?
I think
well,
it takes.
Always next year.
I think to get rid of a coach, you need what happened. You need a similar situation with LSU. Excuse me,
right.
With South Carolina. You need just a. you need to get beaten badly at home.
Did you say Ed O or did you say Gene Chizik?
Well, I may be confused here. Sometimes the truth hurts. Hey, thanks for the call. I better get out of this before I start telling
you
the truth. In defense of Malzahn, he did beat LSU badly. He did lose to South Carolina, which is a pretty embarrassing loss right now. But, you know, he got that win against Arkansas and Ole Miss, however he got it. And I don't think he'll be replaced at the end of the season. Although I think, assuming that Hugh Freeze doesn't go to South Carolina, and right now there seems to be some doubt that he will, I think some will look toward next week as pretty high probabilities. More phone calls here, and Eddie is up next. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, how are you doing today?
We are doing good.
Okay. Well, I got a question. My question is, if CBS wasn't they contracted to do SEC school games, and they're not going to do one this weekend because of the COVID, couldn't they have picked up another SEC school? I mean, No. I'll just leave that out there. And you,
no, here, here's why. Let me explain that. It's a great question, by the way. Before every season, ESPN and CBS get together, and I think they have what's called a draft. And I don't know where ESPN gets, but somewhere in there, ESPN gets a first selection. I don't know where it is. Maybe they don't. But anyway, CBS picks out certain games before the year. They picked out Georgia, Alabama, Bama, LSU, and Florida, Georgia. Those were like their three picks. And I don't know. ESPN may have gotten one. Maybe they didn't. I don't know, but they used to. And then the picking order every week is the same. But then goes to the same. It's CBS has the first pick, and then ESPN essentially gets the rest. ESPN gets the primetime game on ESPN. And then the three SEC or four SEC network games, and then they do with them what they want. So 2 weeks ago, the draft occurred. It was like a 2 week out, and CBS I believe must have picked. Yeah, obviously they picked Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. And you ask, well, why didn't they go for another game? Well, they probably considered Auburn, Tennessee, but Tennessee has just lost three or four games in a row, so they probably didn't want to do that. Auburn has lost a couple of games. LSU, Arkansas, LSU has lost a lot. Alabama, Kentucky, well, okay, well, but you can only put a school on I think three or four times a year, maybe X number of times over a 2 year period, and obviously. They did not want to use that slot for Alabama since they were wanting to take them for the Auburn game. So, yeah, they ended up Ole Miss and A&M. Ole Miss is a high-flying offense. A&M is, national championship contention. So that was their decision, and they got burned. And, you know, they do a lot of Mountain West games as well on CBS Sports Network, which is an offshoot of CBS. So they had no other choice. It's not like ESPN was going to say, hey, we'll be happy to loan you a game because ESPN has enough dance cards to fill as well. We will continue. A lot to do on the program today, and we will continue to have guests, including Glenn Gilbo, who will join us next. I want you to listen to this interview very closely because the LSU story that came out earlier in the week has generated some conversation, but I wouldn't call it DEFCON 1 yet among football fans. Take a listen to what Glenn has to say when we come back, and be curious to get your opinion on whether or not we're paying enough attention to this story out of Baton Rouge. Coming up next, Glenn Gilbo will join us.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flail.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back, and always something coming out of Baton Rouge. It doesn't matter whether it's on the field or off. You'll never be disappointed. And the latest concerns allegations of a very, very serious kind. And our next guest has been all over it. He is Glenn Gilbo. Glenn, we'll get to football eventually, but thanks for joining us. And I read your column this week, a very analytical look at what is going on in Baton Rouge. And I know that you're pretty well versed on it. A lot of the audience really doesn't understand or know what's going on here. And as we say hello, would you mind giving us, or trying to encapsulate, what the issues here are?
Well, over the last several years, female LSU students have been accusing LSU football players, none of them are on the team now, as far as we know, of accusations, but the former players, Drake Davis, Darius Geis, Jacob Phillips, Grant Delpit, the last two off last year's championship team, of Delpit wasn't raped, but he was accused of video recording sex with a woman without her knowing it. Jacob Phillips was accused of rape. Darius Geis was accused of rape by two women. Drake Davis was arrested and charged with felony date violence, not rape, but repeatedly hitting a female member of the LSU women's tennis team. The tennis coach was told about it, didn't really report it very well. LSU people, seven officials in the athletic department are at the school, knew about Drake Davis's issues and did not report it initially. Finally, Miriam Seeger stepped up and called the police. She was shown pictures by the female tennis player of marks and scratches by Davis. And so he was arrested, kicked off the team. But other players, similar accusations, weren't disciplined. And it's been going on for several years. And this USA Today report spelled it all out with text messages, a lot of reporting, a lot of interviews, videos. Two women are named and were interviewed, gave their names. So that's what happened yesterday. You know, they've been reported on in bits and pieces over the years, Drake Davis particularly, and then Geis in August, but nothing all together like USA Today did, with really just an excellent piece of journalism.
Okay, the school has not said much. We know the president has hired outside counsel to investigate, so I'm curious, before we even get to where this goes, is what has the reaction been from fans, or has there been much reaction?
Well, the reaction from LSU has been good in that at least they're taking the story seriously and not trying to say it's fake news or it's isolated or something like that. And the president did hire a law firm to do its own independent study of LSU's practices, and the president said, you know, LSU could do a lot better than what they're doing. So that's a good start. But you know, I think they need to do more. They need to practice what they're suddenly preaching. I think the fan reaction, you know, the fan reaction is not as loud as it usually is with the cries of fake news or what have you. This is just one girl, you know, whereas that it's actually several women. So there's really nothing you can say in defense of LSU after you read this story. I mean, it's really there's not, it's indefensible. There's not much you can say from a fan perspective.
What's at stake here for the university and for people who have been named?
Well, I think I wrote in the column that I think Scott Woodburn, the athletic director, Scott Woodward, the athletic director, I'm sorry, and the president, Thomas Galligan, you know, they need to make some changes. You know, some people probably need to be fired or at least transferred or reassigned. The people that knew about this and knew about some of these charges from the women and it went, you know, ignored or... You know, and it's campus wide. I mean, the football program, the diving coach, the tennis coach, You know, it involves a non-athlete at a fraternity, the Title IX office. So it's there needs to be a lot of culture change throughout the whole campus. And, you know, sometimes when you change personnel, that'll happen.
In terms of that Ogeron, how does he fit into this equation?
Well, you know, he doesn't look great in it because, you know, it'd be hard for me to imagine that he didn't know about some of Drake Davis's behavior with his girlfriend before he was arrested. But, you know, maybe he didn't. I'd be surprised if he did, you know, because usually coaches find out a lot about their players before anybody else does. But, you know, he said the right things, but a lot of these players were accused of these things while he was the coach. So, you know, he doesn't come out looking good in it either. But as I said, you know, I think Les Miles should have been interviewed for the story, or at least tried to be, because some of these players were recruited by him and actually played under him at first.
Good point. These are serious allegations. You know, other places, perhaps more has been made. I'm not trying to say anything, and this is not being taken seriously. I know it is, but where do you think this ends in terms of this investigation, and where could it go from here?
Well, you know, it doesn't bode well in the eyes of the NCAA, as the LSU football program's already, you know, being investigated by NCAA, and they're considering the penalties as we speak. It doesn't look well toward doesn't look good toward lack of institutional control. But I mean, really, these are worse than NCAA violations. LSU broke the law here. You know, it's a federal law to report the allegations to your Title IX office. It's also a state law to respond to public records requests and give full police reports. You know, they didn't do that either. So I think it could, you know, hurt their case with the NCAA, and also, you know, legally outside the NCAA, just with breaking federal laws. It's, you know, it doesn't look good at all for their reputation. And I think, as I said earlier, you know, they need to make some personnel changes campus-wide.
Let me get you to go over that again, because you're right. I mean, it was a couple of weeks ago when the NCAA story came out in both football and basketball. What's the current status of those cases?
Well, the basketball program is still being investigated. The NCAA handed it off to kind of another division of the NCAA that handles serious cases, kind of like a SWAT team, if you will. And LSU's trying to keep that separate of football. The football investigation really is over, and they're just waiting on the penalties. You know, LSU made the self-penalty recommendation recently, and they're waiting on that. So that's still just being waited on. But you know, they thought they were finished at one point, but then the Odell Beckham issue came up after the championship game. So I'm sure they hope that this doesn't delay it more.
And we're about to start basketball under Will Wade, the man who continues to have many lives. What's the feeling about his future?
Well, you know, I'm surprised the NCAA hasn't made a decision on its sanctions for LSU basketball yet. They've let it drag on too long, and you kind of lose some credibility when you do that. But I would think, just from what Will Wade has said on tape and on video, I would think he's got to get some sanctions sooner or later. But you know, as of now, he's just continuing to go merrily along. The LSU changed his contract in anticipation of possible serious penalties, and so they won't be harmed by it and could fire him without cause and not have to pay off his contract. So LSU's ready. So it's just really just waiting for the NCAA to finish. And so are several other schools in similar situations.
And finally, Scott Woodward came in, a year and a half ago?
Right,
and,
exactly.
You know, he's not the pitcher of record here, is he?
No, he's not. He's not, and I mentioned that in the column today. You know, he's kind of a fresh face in all this cultural problems LSU has had. So, you know, that makes him an excellent guy to make some changes. And the president is new, too. Thomas Galligan's an interim president. He's former head of the law school. They probably ought to keep him permanent. And those two need to meet and really decide what they want to do. But they have to make some changes for sure. And I think Woodward would be an excellent one to do that, you know, because he is just been here not 2 years yet.
And before you go, let's get to football for just a second. There's a lot of scuttlebutt that the Alabama LSU game is going to be repositioned on the schedule and on the calendar. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I wrote last week that it's going to be on December 5th. I mean, that's the game. That's the target date. It's not, they haven't decided on it yet, but well, that's the only date they have available now since the Auburn Alabama game was taken by CBS on the 28th. They don't want to move that game, but at the Alabama Arkansas game can be moved from December 5th to December 12th, and then Bama can still play in the title game on the 19th. LSU's game against Ole Miss on December 5th can be moved to December 19th, since they're playing Florida in a makeup game on the 12th. So everything's there for LSU and Alabama to play on the 5th. CBS wants that game. You know, it was a CBS game to begin with. Woodward mentioned that the SEC has to keep its television partners happy. So CBS needs that game. So, yeah, that's why I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, especially since CBS has lost two consecutive weeks of games. I wouldn't think they would be denied one of the premier games of the year. Well, a lot to unpack there, Glenn. Read Glenn's column in case you have want an update. It's quite good and quite to the point. His column about the LSU's cover-up culture in the Advertiser. Hey, Glenn, thanks for coming on, as always. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Why don't you call me when things are going good one time, Mr. Feinbaum?
Well, it's been – I can't think of anything that's gone well since January 13th, have you?
That's about right.
Talk soon, Glenn. Thanks. Okay.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, we're back. Try to get some reaction to what Glenn said and any other subjects. Many more guests to come. We'll dip back into the coaching search at South Carolina. Let's check in with Alex right now from Texas. Hey, Alex.
Bomb, I hope things are well. I just had one thing I wanted to mention. I had listened to Stu Gotts this morning visit with the gentleman who had wrote the article about the LSU situation, and he was asked by Stu Gotts if Ed Ogeron what his position was, and he said that in his research he had no evidence that Ed Ogeron knew anything about what was going on until after it was, you know, when it was brought to his attention, and then the gentleman was released from the team. But other than that, he had no evidence of Ed Ogeron knowing anything about it and being it a cover-up. So I just kind of thought that it was a little interesting that the gentleman said that he assumed Ed Orgeron knew what was going on, and I just wanted to kind of mention that.
Listen, I don't know. I think if Orgeron was more closely involved, the story would be being recited more often. I'm not saying that's an excuse, but I mean, it's a serious story when women make allegations like this and they are ignored. But ultimately you have to weed the people out who didn't follow a protocol.
Yes, sir. I have to agree, and in no way am I downplaying anybody's allegations. I was my only issue was with the assumption versus the fact.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, I think Orgeron right now is he's involved only because he was on the staff, but ultimately there's not direct linkage, which is good, because otherwise he would be in a world of hurt.
Yes sir. And it is his staff, and it is, you know, as you would put it, he's the coach, so he's in charge, so everything, you know, kind of trickles down from him.
He took over that year. I mean, I think if you start placing some blame, I mean, Les Miles was the coach when this season began. Hey, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Cat Daddy is up next.
Under the boardwalk and under the sun, Mr. Feinbaum, I'd like to say something to you.
Sure.
I'm all for the women's college soccer tournaments and all for the women. God bless them. I hope they do their best. But not having you on television during this time, it's like tuning in to Ed Sullivan Show and Elvis and the Beatles don't show up.
Well, the good news is we're back tomorrow. And as you know, I am a paid employee, and if they told me that to show up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would do that. So I have no idea what's going on until I get here.
Been there, done that, understand your dilemma. But I'll tell you what, Mr. Feinbaum, it's just, I mean, you know, it's like waking up and Santa Claus ain't showed up. And I don't mean to, you know, to suck up to you or anything like that. But, I mean, you just mean so much to the folks out here with this pandemic and the lack of sports and what we're going to do here in the next day. You just one shot an example.
Well,
and
I appreciate
all the folks
it. But,
are
you,
you.
But you're, so you're telling me that you don't, that you're not heavily involved in this LSU Texas A&M women's soccer game. Is that it?
Excuse me, but I'm going to have to hang up on you. I'm coming up to a break because I got to turn back to the Korean Baseball League.
I've watched a little bit of that Korean baseball. Good luck for getting through that.
Oh, by the way, can I say one more thing?
Yes.
Congratulations to Dustin. Columbia, South Carolina, actually from Irmo, South Carolina. Won that Masters. God bless him. That was a great win for him and his family, and we appreciate him.
Yeah, that was one of the great performances I've ever seen, and I've always pulled for him. The guy's let about four majors get away, but I bet he wouldn't trade all those misses for that green jacket.
I guarantee you. And that kid behind him, Cameron, who just a superb golf. These kids are wonderful, and they're making us old folks look bad.
Yeah, the difference in golf today is there's no fear. It doesn't matter what's around. They're going for the flag.
Yes, and that's what you need to do. Go for the best. Do what you got to do. Mr. Paul, I appreciate you. God bless you. I hope your family's well.
Thank you.
And I hope you get over this pandemic.
And we will see you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. I'll be tuning in.
Thanks, Cat Daddy. Appreciate it. Let's continue with more calls. And Michael is in Georgia. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Paul. How are you this afternoon?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good to hear. I'm just curious. I mean, you know, talked about the Super Bowl. They were happy it's not in California. It's in Tampa. And I started wondering, with all the bowls that do go on across the country, what do you think the different states' protocols, the impact they would have on the, of course, the revenue the bowls would get, be able to pay out the team and the conferences? Do you think it would be a major source of
flow? Remember something, the most important thing about every bowl game is the television contract. And most of them are with, obviously, ESPN. So there will be money made.
But, right.
But the bowl business is going to take a bath because, you know, bowls are built, I mean, in addition to the television agreement, they're built on marketing and tourism and getting people to the communities. And, you know, I mean, I'm not being a pessimist here, but I have a hard time believing that many fans are going to be traveling when you follow the news right now in terms of where it's going. So I think there will be payouts, but I think there's also going to be tremendous losses on these bowl games, especially within the community.
Oh, yeah, because like I said, they, you know, I live in a tourist-based area, and it's just tough to, you know, this summer was not good for our island, but, you know, hopefully it will recover. But I'm just wondering, you know, how these, you know, committees – would be able
yeah,
to...
Yeah, I really... I mean, there are a couple of bowl games that have already gone by the wayside. I think the real thing that I'm interested in is, you know, like we saw South Carolina fired Muschamp. A couple of players have already said, I'm done. What's going to happen? I mean, the only good news is the bowl season is going to literally follow the regular season. And that's the one thing that coaches always talk about, especially if you're 6-6, hey, we get 18 days of practice. Well, you're not getting that right now because there's only going to be a week or two between the final weekend and the bowl games. So that may prevent some players from opting out. Another game, another week and a half is not going to be a big deal. But the enthusiasm level, I think, and the thing that would concern me even more than that is the adherence to protocol, because at some point I think some of these players are going to have had enough of being in a so-called bubble.
Yeah. And I mean, at that age, it can't be fun.
No, there's no way. I mean, I give them a lot of credit because at 19 years old, the idea of me following rules would have been impossible.
Completely true here too. But, all right, man, I appreciate your insight.
Thank you.
You guys stay safe.
Could be the one reason I ended up doing this job instead of something respectable. Anyway, we'll take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We'll get back into the South Carolina coaching search. Gilbo just joined us on the LSU allegations, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
We welcome you back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Great to have you with us. We'll go back to South Carolina in a couple of minutes and get the latest. And then later in the program, we'll talk to one of the co-authors of the explosive story on LSU's Title IX issues. That a little bit later on. Let's go to Greg right now in Athens, Alabama. Greg, how are you? Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. And
thank you.
I caught the tail end of your interview with Glenn Gilbo, and it seems to me that this is paralleling a lot of what happened at Baylor, and I wonder what the actual effect will be on the coaching tenure of Ed Orgeron when this is all said and done.
Yeah, I'll give you the nebulous answer right now, and I don't think we really know. And anyone who thinks they do has never followed one of these investigations, because right now, you've had a newspaper do an extraordinary job of looking into it. But wait till the federal government shows up.
Yes, I read the USA Today article, and it went into great detail. And, you know, this was going on at the same time that Baylor was going through their things.
Right.
And you would think, after all of that, that anybody that has any sense of mind would not allow this to happen wherever they are.
No,
and yet,
but Greg, you understand culture, having served in the military. And it's amazing what kind of bubble. I'm not suggesting I know any more about LSU than the next person, but I've seen this before, and it's a very dangerous circumstance. And you're right. The fact that it's going on concurrently is even more extraordinary.
It is, and it's a shame. And it just seems like, you know, LSU, even though I don't root for them, they had a very a magical year last year, but now you have to ask yourself at what cost, because we don't know what the ramifications are going to be, and it doesn't seem, this is not a story that's going away.
No.
And once the federal government gets involved into this, it's going to take on a life of its own that's outside the purview of Scott Woodward, school president.
Yeah, no, there's only so much you can do. And I mean, I think it is important that the university has decided to bring in outside counsel. They desperately need an independent investigation, which clearly has not happened. I'm not about to say this is the tip of the iceberg, because I don't really know. But I was a investigative reporter once, and the challenge of what a reporter can come up with versus what federal subpoenas can come up with is a completely different situation.
Yes, and the whatever the federal government gets a hold of will not have any redactions on it.
No.
Such as police reports, which is crazy.
No, and I mean, when you start getting the Civil Rights Division involved, and I'm just guessing now with the changing of the administration, I'm not trying to make too much of a jump here, but I would think this could end up being a more of a priority. It would be interesting to see who the new Attorney General is going to be, but still, you better watch out.
Yeah, this is potentially having tritium on your deck, and if you know anything about nuclear weapons, the last thing you want to be around is tritium.
No, I would agree. So, I mean, I would. There are not many organizations I'd rather not. I could afford to be. I would want to be investigated less than the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department.
Yeah, and it's only, like you said, with the new administration coming in, it's only going to amp up. And
it comes down to, because I mean, these things are, as you know, I mean, you served in the military long enough, a lot of it depends on who is making the call. And I'm not about to offer a judgment because I really don't know. But I do know, we'll know more in about an hour when we talk to one of the reporters.
Yes. All right. Well, I just hope that the ladies get all the help and justice they deserve, and whatever happens, happens. But if
you follow this, and I'm not trying to compare the Nassar allegations at Michigan State, but once you break that door down, Greg, you don't know what's behind it.
And it is LSU after all.
Yeah, and I mean the culture down there does not look good from what little we know.
And I had a guy tell me when this first broke that he didn't think that the NCAA would have much say in this matter, but the NCAA still can do what it wants to do in regards to this.
By the way, if this was the only thing going on, it would still be absolutely terrible. But the fact that you have the NCAA now having completed an investigation of the football program, currently has an ongoing investigation into the basketball program, I mean, at some point you have to ask who's in charge of the trains down there.
Exactly. And Scott Woodward isn't going to be the one that gets fired if this is all true. So if you're a fan of those teams, you better buckle up, because even though the football season is about to end for them, this is not going to be gone at any time soon. And it's going to have lasting ramifications for these programs at university.
Before you go, have you been, Greg? Haven't talked to you in a while.
I've been good. I am working this year with kids that are in a court deferral program.
Okay.
And it's taken a lot of energy and time, but I love it. And you're getting to help some kids that have the opportunity to avoid going to jail and making choices that are everlasting. So it's been great, and like everybody else, we're just navigating around COVID and what it is. So,
well, thanks for the call, Greg. We'll be in touch. We are going to take a break. We'll talk about the South Carolina situation in a few minutes. More on LSU later and your phone calls.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.